And again, I found a lot of this pretty interesting. I think we have some good things to say about that. And the texts that are in your book, Galatians 5:22 through 23, of course, then Ephesians 4:2, Psalm 147:6, and Colossians 3:12 through 13. So don't have to turn to those. I'll read those to you. But if you'd stand with me, at least for the reciting, you can all join me now, I'm sure, on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians verse. And then I'll read the other three for us. All right? So Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we're down to the next to last one. We actually have two more lessons after this, but meekness. And we'll see, kind of closely related to the all, and we've talked before about how they kind of build on one another anyway. But let me read Ephesians 4:2 to you. And organized here. Sorry to keep you standing. But Ephesians 4:2 states, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So a very important part of meekness and forbearing one another in love. And then Psalm 147, verse 6, speaks of God honoring others. And it says, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. We lift up the meek, cast the wicked down. And finally, Colossians 3:12 through 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for your lessons here on the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you for this fruit of meekness, Lord. We just pray that once again you'd help us to understand that's not something that we can generate ourselves, but it is of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that just to know that the best response we can offer in any situation is to let the Holy Spirit respond through us. Lord, that we just pray that you'd help us to be meek as we do soul winning. It's about having compassion for the lost. So help us just to understand and accept that into our activities, Lord. And Lord, that through our meekness we can reveal you in our lives. What a blessing that can be. We ask your help and blessing on our time together as we look into this a little closer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So, we look to the Holy Spirit to help us develop meekness. And the overview there in your book, page 59 in the workbook, if you want to follow along, says, many people believe that meekness is defined by a woman who speaks in a quiet voice or a person who is weak. But that is not the true definition of meekness. Through God's Word, true meekness reveals itself, its service, and its significance in the life of a believer. And our lesson theme says the fruit of meekness played an important role in the life of Christ, as it should also in the life of Christians. The fruit of meekness comes from a specific source, has a purposed service, and results in true significance. So it's one of those things that sometimes I think we pass over, but obviously it affects an awful lot of things in our Christian walk and how people perceive us and think of us. So it's an important fruit. Our culture has become increasingly opposed to the virtues of humility and meekness. You know, you kind of think about, you know, it's kind of all about me. You know, is kind of what they tell us, and we deserve our rights and demand our rights, and it kind of has just built into, you know, not really holding up a standard of appreciating people that are humble or meek. We think meekness can be weakness is kind of what we're taught. We'll look at that. It's all about my rights or my image. What people fail to understand is that meekness is not weakness. It actually requires uncommon strength. And we'll look more at that this morning as well. Meekness is defined as a submissive or teachable spirit toward God that reveals itself in genuine consideration to others. Meekness is directed first toward God and then toward fellow man. And I thought about that. You know, if you really meditate on God and who He is, and it's kind of hard not to be meek. My goodness, you know, we're like, you know, the proverbial little ant, you know, to Goliath. And even worse than that when it comes down to it. So we should not be too bold when we contemplate God. You know, just the true thinking of that would tend to make us meek, I think. Found a good example here in the elephant. You know, you think about that, and they're big and bulky and all that. But they are so strong, they've frequently been used for logging to carry large logs and even uproot trees. But these giants are usually gentle, especially when tamed from a young age. The elephant's trunk in particular is an example of strength coupled with precise control. Its trunk, with more than 40,000 individual muscles, is strong enough to rip branches from trees, but sensitive enough to pick up a single blade of grass. You know, I just love those pictures, you know, when you see the trunk go out and just gently pick up something or even lift a person up. And yet, you know, you think of the strength that could use and sometimes does, you know, if it's taking down a tree, you know, thing. The trained elephant illustrates the great value of having both strength and careful gentleness. Unlike the proverbial bull in a china shop. You know, you think that and you see, you know, ripping all that up. But the elephant can be pretty dainty for as big as it is. Pretty incredible. Compared to English, the Greek language has more precise words for describing the valuable quality of trained animals like elephants and horses. The New Testament uses those same Greek words for a virtue God wants His people to develop. When the Apostle Paul lists meekness as the eighth attribute among the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23, he uses the Greek noun praeotis or proutis. And meekness is the closest translation we have for the Greek word used. We are to be meek, yielded, teachable, responsive, first of all in our relationship with God, and secondly, meek, humble, gentle, respectful in our relationships with people. To become this kind of person, God must tame and train us. It's not something we're going to come up with on our own. The word is closely related in meaning to magnanimous. Kind of the 25-cent word there, magnanimous. It's defined as generous in forgiving. You know, you think magnanimous, you might think of giving a lot, but it's actually generous in forgiving. Avoiding resentment or revenge. It's unselfish. We see the words used often together with forgiving and forbearance and that type of thing. Meekness is an important part of true love. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5, says, "Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil." Right there, I think, is just a really wonderful definition of meekness. You could just read, you know, meekness and get that impression of just loving somebody to not vaunt it up or, you know, puffed up too much. The Bible places great value on meekness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I think that might be the most famous meekness verse in the Bible, Matthew 5:5 in the Beatitudes. It's a mighty big reward for being meek. Get to inherit the earth. But since meek is no longer a popular or commonly used word, modern Bible translations frequently substitute the almost synonymous word gentle. We kind of think gentle, meek, you know, and we tend to maybe think that's the same. But be aware that gentleness refers mostly to actions. You know, and that's something we are gentle. Whereas meekness refers to an attitude. It's more, we're meek of heart that we then act out in gentleness. This explains why meekness is one of the Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes for which God promises blessings. Meekness is not weakness. I cannot stress that enough this morning. Many people confuse meek with weak. It's regrettable that they rhyme because godly meekness requires strength. For a physical comparison, if you were badly injured and needed someone to gently carry you, wouldn't you want someone that was really strong? You know, I might want one of these elephants to carry me, you know, just to know they're strong enough, but yet gentle, you know, and you just, that's a wonderful picture, I think, of our Savior. You don't want somebody weak that might stumble and drop you, man. And I won't go there. Adding to the confusion is the idea that hair trigger angry reactions are normal. You know, sometimes, well, that's just normal. We act on a short fuse. As a result, some people assume that a person who doesn't retaliate must be afraid or mousy. But true strength is shown by a secure individual who stays cool, thinks first, and then responds in a way that will best help the other person. A soft answer turneth away wrath, says Proverbs 15:1. But a harsh word stirs up anger. It's completely how we respond to things. It's a good attribute of meekness. The greatest display of meekness was when Jesus Christ came to earth in human form. Matthew 21:5 says, "Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." He did not make his triumphal entry with blazing bolts of judgment, and he could have. In a spirit of meekness, he entered riding upon a donkey. The powerful Creator God in his highest majesty was born in a manger and crucified on a cross. Jesus displayed the spiritual fruit of meekness in his life. Are we following his example? Have we been treating people lately, the waitress or the customer sales associate at Walmart? How do we treat our neighbors, friends, and family members? Meekness is a vital fruit of the Spirit, and to obtain it, we must study its source, its service, and its significance. So, getting into the lesson, Roman numeral 1, the source of meekness, the source. In relation to the other fruits of the Spirit we have studied, we know that all spring from one source, don't we? The Holy Spirit. If this source is ignored, the reproduction of the fruit is impossible. So letter A, meekness is produced by the Holy Spirit, not self-produced, produced by the Holy Spirit. Meekness is not something that can be learned in a classroom or a secular book. Psalm 25:9 there in your book says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." He is responsible for doing that. In this self-willed day, meekness is something that must be imparted by the Holy Spirit. The wise Christian will humbly learn of God and seek his judgment as this fruit of the Spirit is developed in his life. I like this story he gives. Excuse me. Two wives were mending their husband's pants while they waited for their laundry at the laundromat. The first wife said, "My husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work. He can't find anything good on television. Our home is a place of despair and despondency. When we go to the church, the song leader is terrible, and the pastor is an idiot." The other wife said, "My husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time and enjoy our family." It got very quiet in the laundry room as the women continued sewing the pants. One observer to this exchange noticed that the one lady was patching the seat of her pants, of her husband's pants. The other was patching its knees. That's pretty good. What are we wearing out? Something to think about. If you're filled with God's Spirit, there will be a meekness in our life that will make a difference in every single relationship. You'll experience fulfillment and satisfaction as God supplies our every need. Psalm 22:26 in your book there states, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Wow. We've talked a lot about being satisfied and thankful, and that's part of meekness, just recognizing, that we could be worse off. Amen. We've all heard all the comparisons of, really all of us are rich today because we have clothes and heat and things to do. All right, letter B, meekness is praised by Jesus. Praised by Jesus. In our world where people praise toughness, success, and other outward attributes, Jesus praises meekness. He said in Matthew 5:5, again there in your book, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Pretty bold and strong statement on what Jesus thinks of being meek. When someone accepts Jesus as his Savior, the Holy Spirit touches his heart and brings him to a place of humility or meekness, a knowledge of his need for a Savior. So at some point, all of us that are Christians, and I know that includes everyone here, we were meek enough to accept that the Creator God forgave us. And so that was a good instance of being meek. There in your book, Isaiah 29:19 says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Wow. Well, joy comes from being meek. Meek enough to accept God and all his blessings and giving him the credit that is due him to do that. In there, just as we got through the series on joy, and overcoming all those things to maintain our joy. So, Roman numeral 2, the service of meekness. The service of meekness. How do you identify one who is walking in meekness? Well, again, Ephesians 4:2 states, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, that's the attribute of being meek. And sometimes that's not being weak. It takes a lot of strength sometimes to do exactly that, to forbearing one another in love and to be patient and long-suffering with what's going on. The service of a Christian manifests itself in a gentle spirit, and this is the evidence in three ways. Letter A, meekness properly responds in difficulty. Proper response in difficulty. You cannot control the actions of others, but you can control your response to those actions. We probably say, and I know we've heard, but she did this or did that first, you get all that, watch the NFL. Well, he pushed me first, so I slammed him with my helmet or whatever. It's always the other person's fault, amen? But we can control how we respond to that. The best response is to allow the Holy Spirit to respond through you. The Bible says there in your book, Titus 3:2, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Just respond with meekness and gentleness. Be kind one to another. In 1 Timothy 6:11, again in your book, Paul said to Timothy, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Again, exhibit those fruit. And how? He's a man of God with the Holy Spirit working through him to be able to do just that. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Your flesh desires to fly off the handle. Speak your mind, to get an attorney when you've been wronged. But God says that you are to follow after meekness. It is the strength of backing off a fight you could win. It's the ability to handle hurt without reacting. Not always easy in times of difficulty or hurt, but we can respond with the Holy Spirit's help. And only with the Holy Spirit's help. A missionary in Jamaica was once questioning some little boys on the meaning of Matthew 5:5. He asked, "Who are the meek?" One child answered, "Those who give soft answers to rough questions." Through the eyes of a child, the soft answers to tough or rough questions. Meekness speaks softly and persuasively. instead of forcefully. It answers a provoking question with kindness and grace. You know, and I know a lot of times we get challenged on our faith, and our response is to, you know, tell them they're idiots, or, you know, do what's wrong, or, you know, and you know, it's good to be bold, and we'll talk more about that. But we need to do it with a sense of meekness and love for them. Letter B, meekness properly responds in marriage. In marriage. And your book, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4, tells how meekness makes a difference in marriage. I almost wasn't going to read this, but since it's in your book, because it's one of those controversial ones, I know. But it's really not controversial when you think about it. It's just behavior, and there's just as much responsibility on men. But 1 through 4 tells how it makes a difference. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Remember, conversation here means lifestyle, not just necessarily what you say. The conversation was the whole interaction, the converse. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And it was just of great value to respond properly and to win the lost. You know, when we go to the checkout stand, the grocery store, you ever seen a magazine called Meek? Never have, amen. But we see ones called Glamour or Self. You know, all these self-aggrandizing magazines that they try to get you with. Why? The world doesn't consider meekness to have much value. The truth is, we're here today not to learn how to fit in the world's value system. We're here to learn about what's important to God. And meekness is of great value in His sight, because it's a great price to the Lord Jesus. A meek spirit generates in the family an atmosphere that is Christ-honoring. Thank God for many Christian ladies who, because of their godly conversation or lifestyle, over time will be able to see their unsaved husbands and children to come to know the Lord. You know, we've all seen that even here. Once in a while it goes the other way, you know, and men and their meekness, but usually it seems like it's the women that can win them over, that come to God first. And it's because of the way they've conducted themselves that helped do that. I've seen married couples who argue about every small detail, such as what year they took a family vacation. You can get a big argument on who cares if it was 17 or 18, you know, that type of thing. But there's no meekness, no quiet spirit in their lives. They have not learned to disagree agreeably. I like that. Disagree agreeably. We need to learn that ability to do that. It's okay to disagree and, you know, make your point, but no reason to get in a shouting match over it. The first grader, named Melanie, announced to her mother that she was engaged to marry the young gentleman next door. Her mother was surprised to hear this statement, but said nothing. The next day, Melanie informed her mother that the engagement was off. "Why?" her mother asked. "Well," replied the child loftily, "he just isn't ready for marriage yet. And besides, he scribbled in my coloring book." Sometimes that's all it takes. Somebody scribbles in our coloring book. You know, and we can, you know. And just how many times I know I've thought, you know, is it just not worth coloring inside the lines all the time, or upset that somebody, you know, painted my picture I wanted to do, or tried to do my Sudoku puzzle that I was waiting to do. And it's just paper and pencil sometimes. And it's just not worth causing a fuss over. People tend to be petty when they're not under the control of the Spirit. They get so caught up on trivialities, they fail to recognize their testimonies speak much more loudly than verbal karate or arguing techniques. You know, I know I've heard several times, "Well, you know, he was in debate class in high school. I can't argue with him." Or same with the lady, "Well, you know, she went to college and learned all these arguments, and I didn't, you know, and I just can't win an argument. Well, that's missing the whole point of trying to win the argument, and through techniques, it's better that their testimony just speak more loudly. There are so many things in life that could be overcome by a meek spirit. So many problems that could be diffused by spirit-led Christians who are walking in meekness. It's one of those things, again, we tend not to think too much about that, but just what a meek spirit can accomplish. It's kind of a peacemaking thing. Letter C, meekness properly responds in witnessing. Witnessing. I believe in strong preaching and an aggressive ministry, but when we are witnessing to people, there should be a spirit of compassion and tenderness in our heart. You know, I remember most of you here, I think, knew Pastor Tom, and you know, and he could be kind of a gruff, scary guy. I remember Kathy was scared of him for months, you know, and I wasn't too sure myself, because he just kind of had just kind of his demeanor, and he was really a pussycat. But I, you know, when he would bring up the lost, tears would come to his eyes. That's how much compassion he felt for people that were going to hell. And he just had that love for the lost that really, and he was an amazing soul winner because of that. They could tell that he had compassion for him. There in your book, 1 Peter 3:15-16 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know, not to beat him over the head with it, with meekness and fear to share with them why we have hope. Goes on, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, even or as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, maybe not right away. Hopefully they realize that they should be ashamed of how they treated somebody just trying to be nice to them. But at some point, they're going to be greatly ashamed. They're going to remember when they treated us evilly. And it's going to be a sad day. Sad day. Sometimes, when this pastor or chap was talking about these college freshmen, come to school on fire for God. They go out soul winning, ready to attack hell with a squirt gun. You know, you're charged up and you're ready to go, but you just don't really have the right tools maybe to take it on. And that's a lot of times because they're misusing what their knowledge. Once in a while, Pastor Chapel has to pull them aside and remind them that they may have won an argument, but they didn't win the soul. Soul winning is not about arguing. It's about boldly witnessing while having a compassionate spirit towards the lost. The passage above explains that one's heart and motives must be evident to the unsaved. They must see a meek, Christ-like spirit. You know, and I know the pastor, and we've used that a lot, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's exactly what we're talking about, displaying that meekness and love for them, that we care for them no matter, you know, what they might say or do. And that's when they will usually be more willing to listen, when they know we care for them. From numeral 3, the significance of meekness. And yeah, we are going to be done way early, so you can all look forward to that. But the significance of meekness. Letter A, meekness reveals Christ in you. Meekness reveals Christ in us. Very important. One reason meekness is so significant is it reveals Christ in the life of a believer. Jesus is saying, "Walk with me, work with me. I'll give you the strength to handle life's difficulties." You know, just like our song, "Walk and Talk with Us," you know, and the Holy Spirit is giving us the strength to handle life's difficulties. There in your book, Matthew 11:29-30 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. You know, he wants to just be able to do, and wants us to lean on him. And he's telling us here, it's not really a chore to do that. It's pretty easy yoke, and his burden is light. We just need to take it on and accept that. Letter B, meekness reflects the word in you. Reveals Christ, and then it reflects the word in you. Meekness also reflects God's word in a believer's life. There in your book, James 1, 21 and 22 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We should be taking the word in, giving it back out, just like the mirror and the, you know, reflecting it. I love the example of the moon reflecting the sun's light. You know, we should be moons reflecting the sun's light. Meekness causes you to receive the word of God, accepting that he is God. It keeps your spirit teachable and sensitive toward God's leading in your life. It also helps you to live out the word of God, to put the Bible into practice on a daily basis. Renewed every morning to get up and, you know, just to remind ourselves to be thankful, first of all, and then through that to be meek and gentle and respond appropriately and avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit each and every day and every instant, you know, to keep him that close to us. He's in our heart. He's just right there. In conclusion, Psalm 147:6 speaks of God honoring and esteeming those believers who walk in a spirit of meekness. Again, it says, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. To develop this fruit in your life, you must learn to turn to the source, to the Holy Spirit. You must recognize the source of meekness, the manifestation of a gentle spirit, and you must understand its significance. Christ is revealed in your life. We want others to see Christ in us, and we can act like Christ would act. Colossians 3, 12 through 13 again says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, we just see all those attributes and fruits listed together. Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Wow. It's the whole list. And it's easy to see the interrelation of all that, I think. You know, if we're humble to God and we can understand and then forgive others because he forgave us. What a wonderful way to live our lives, to get those attributes in our heart to do that. Consider Christ. In his almightiness, he humbled himself and became meek. You know, and I thought of that like the elephant under control, you know. Here's, by word, he created everything. And yet, so he had the power. I mean, we saw him calm the seas in a storm, right? How strong would you have to be? I would retaliate. Somebody pop off, boom, you know, destroy him in an instant. He had that kind of power, yet he refrained from doing so. That, when I thought about that, I thought, that is strength. My goodness, to be that strong to control, you know, our flesh that would want to reach out and smack somebody or to do something like that. And what a wonderful, great example. But he humbled himself and became meek. With all the power in the world, he chose to put it under control so that he might be used more effectively by his heavenly Father. The death of Christ on the cross painted a portrait of what ultimate power controlled looked like, meekness. We all know he didn't have to stay on that cross, but he was meekness unto death. What a wonderful example. Pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning for this lesson on meekness. And Lord, to help us not only be more like you, but in that we would reflect you and reveal you in our attitude of our heart, Lord, towards others and especially towards you. Help us to really realize just how powerful and mighty you are. You are the God creator, and that in itself will keep us meek. and humble, Lord. And I just pray that we would just get that through the Holy Spirit deep into our heart and in our attitudes, that we would remember to be meek towards others, consider others more important, forgiving one another of the sins and the hurts and the pains, Lord, that we can just walk closer to you with you, and just others would seek us out because we are different, and that we can, and when they ask that, we would stand ready to share the gospel with them because we care for them and love them enough to want them to be saved as well. Help us to be that example, dear God, I pray. So we ask a blessing on this time. We ask a blessing on the service to follow as Pastor Josh breaks the word of life to us, and just the exciting part of all these wonderful things he's teaching us on Genesis and how it fits so well with science and not like the world would tell us. Just once again, that we would be led astray if not for your word and the truth of it. So bless that time together and give him your words to speak as we prepare our hearts to hear more from you this morning. Thank you for each that came, and ask a blessing on each one. In Jesus' precious and wonderful, mighty name, amen. Amen. Or dismissed.